Well, if you have your Bibles, you can look over there at Ephesians chapter 6, and we'll be there in a few moments. And this morning we're continuing our lesson on supplication and looking at our walk with God. And last week we looked at the first two points there on your handout. We looked at the priority of prayer and the purpose of prayer. And the Bible says there in Ephesians 6:18, praying always with all prayer and supplication. And so today we'll continue looking at the importance of prayer in the life of the believer. And just for those that do go on the church's website, the sermon section is updated. The internet finally cooperated long enough to where I could get the last, about 3 weeks worth of sermons and lessons up there. What's that?
Thanks, by the way. Out in Colorado, I couldn't hear it.
Yeah, no. And, yep, so everything's up there. And so you can go and listen to that if you need to get caught up on anything. But this morning we're looking first there at the pattern of prayer. The pattern of prayer. One of the greatest questions that is asked sometimes, especially of those who are new believers, those who are new Christians, is, well, how are we supposed to pray? And some folks, especially when they're new believers, new Christians, they think that there's some special formula. They think there's some special magic to it. They think that there's these special million-dollar words that you have to use. And we're going to see that really, prayer in its most simplest form is a conversation with our Heavenly Father. Prayer is a conversation with our Savior. And so we're going to see that this morning. And a question, again, often asked by a new Christian is, how do I pray? Even the disciples asked Jesus in Luke chapter 11, they asked him to teach us to pray. And Jesus' answer to his disciples was, of course, the model prayer that's mentioned in Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 through 13. Now, when we look at the model prayer, that is different from the other prayer that we find in Scripture. There's two different prayers. What's that?
The actual Lord's Prayer. Where he prayed, if you read through it, he actually prayed for us.
That's right.
For future believers.
That's right. And so those are two different prayers that we sometimes interchange, that we sometimes refer to as the Lord's Prayer, when really it's not. It's the model prayer. And so in Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 through 13, he said, "After this manner, therefore, pray ye." And so that word manner just simply means in this way or on this fashion. And so he never intended for the model prayer to be a prayer that we just repeat every single day, 3-4 times a day. He never intended for it to be a repetitious type of prayer. And each phrase represents a subject of prayer, how we're supposed to pray. And so you're there in Matthew chapter 6. Who would like to read verses 9 through 13? Verses 9 through 13. Michaela, go ahead, sweetie. Thank you there, Michaela. And so the very first verse there, verse number 9, we see, "Our Father, which art in heaven, what be thy name?"
Hallowed
be thy name. And so we see that prayer, when we start our prayers should always begin with praising God, with thanking him for the things he's done for us, praising God for who he is, what he does. Praising God ought to continually inhabit the lips of the Christian in song and testimony, especially prayer, because when we actually stop to think about all the things God has done for us, we can't help but think, well, how can we not praise Him? How can we not thank Him for the things He's done? So, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. And then verse number 10, Thy kingdom what?
Come.
Thy kingdom come. And so every day of the Christian's life, he should acknowledge the Lord's return, the truth that Jesus is coming again. Wednesday night, we finished up 1 Thessalonians and looked at chapter number 5. And there on in chapter number 5, it talked about how there are those who, as Jesus is coming back, that there are those who are going to be spiritually asleep. And as Christians, we need to make sure that when Jesus comes back, we don't find ourselves spiritually asleep at the wheel, that we are waiting and watching and ready for His return that can really be at any moment. You know, we have all these plans, we have all these ideas of things we are going to do, of things we want to do, of things we want to accomplish. But the truth of the matter is, Jesus could come before we even finish out today. And we need to be ready for that and acknowledging of that fact. And so God says He has a crown prepared for those who look forward to His return. That's there in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse number 8. And so when a person daily thinks of being with Christ, it helps him to set his affections on something that is greater, to set his affections on that which is eternal, to set his affections on that which is in heaven instead of the things on this earth. Because the things in this earth, the Bible tells us that moth and rust doth corrupt, thieves break through and steal. And so we need to be laying up treasures for ourselves in heaven, prepared for the Lord's return. And so continuing there in verse number 10, there on letter C, Thy will be what?
Done
in earth as it is in heaven. And so one of the things you have to do when you're praying, you know, you could pray, but the important thing is when you're praying is that you pray, Lord, if it be Your will, help this to come to pass. Lord, if it be Your will, help me to accomplish this. Lord, if it be Your will, help me to get this. And a person must ask for God's will to be done every day in his life. You know, sometimes we look at prayer as kind of, oh, I don't know that, you know, kind of like, you know, my parents used to always joke. They said, what do you think? Money grows on trees? And, you know, sometimes I think we look at prayer as that, you know, that imaginary money tree that never runs out, that all we have to do is go out and shake it and the Lord's, you know, going to give us anything and everything we want. But the truth of the matter is, if it's not His will for our life, then number one, we don't need it. But then number two, He's not going to give it to us if it's not His will for our life. And so, after all, Christians were, you know, we were bought with the blood of Christ on the cross of Calvary to be servants of Christ. And the Christian should ask God to show him what God wants for his life. And we're actually going to see that a little bit more in the morning service this morning. And so, Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. We need to pray for God's will to be done. And that's a hard thing sometimes to do, because we have a hard time yielding our will. We have a hard time submitting our will. We have a hard time just, you know, letting the Lord have His way and His control in our life sometimes. And so then, letter D there, Matthew chapter 6, verse 11, give us this day our daily
bread.
And so we know Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Matthew chapter 4 and verse 4. So not only is physical bread necessary for daily needs, physical food, but also spiritual bread is needed to help the Christian grow. The psalmist in Psalm 119 said, open thou mine eyes that I might behold wondrous things out of thy law. So the more you read the Bible, the more you read Scripture, the more you read the Word of God, the Lord is going to open your eyes that you might see the wondrous things that He has for us in His Word, that He has for us in the Bible. And we need that on a day-by-day basis. You know, sometimes you might go a little while without reading your Bible, and all of a sudden something just seems empty or hollow or lacking or whatever the case may be, and you need to make sure that is there in your lives. Give us this day our daily bread. Now, here's a tough one. Letter E. blank us our debts. Forgive us our debts. Now, that's not necessarily the hard part, because we know the Lord can forgive us of anything. But then we notice that that second phrase, as we forgive our debtors. The Lord forgives us freely. Sometimes we don't forgive so freely. Sometimes we don't. We have trouble forgiving. But God made it very clear that we will never be forgiven until we ourselves start forgiving. And why is that? Well, the truth is this morning, how can we be right with a God we cannot see if we're not right with the person we can see? And that's what God is trying to get us to see. And we see here, confessing our sins should not be done generically, but specifically. You know, you sin this week, go to the Lord and confess it specifically, and ask the Lord to help you specifically with that sin. And each sin should be named and confessed to assure God's forgiveness. 1 John 1:9, the Lord's not, or 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. And so we need to ask the Lord's forgiveness for our sins. But then we also need to forgive other people as well. Then we see there letter F, Matthew 6:13. Lead us not into what?
Temptation,
but deliver us from
evil.
These two phrases show us that God should be asked for help in avoiding sin. You know, you go out about your day, you know, your daily routine, your day by day work, school, whatever the case may be, and you know, the devil's going to try his best to trip you up. The devil's going to try his best to lead you into things that you ought not to be led into. And so we need to ask the Lord's help in avoiding those sins before we actually sin, before we actually fall into these things, but also for help to say no to temptation when it arises. You know, sometimes, and, you know, we can think of silly examples this morning. You know, maybe you're trying to lose weight, and then somebody comes and offers you, you know, a delicious chocolate cake, you know, and it's like, man, I really want a slice of that chocolate cake. But you say, no, I got to refrain. I can't have that today. And or, you know, Mandy, she's trying to get rid of gluten. And sometimes I say, well, how about we just go here today because I'm tired of Wendy's. And she says, all right. And then she goes, she has a little bit of gluten and whatever the case may be. What's that? And then she regrets it. So she has to learn to say no. And you know, really, I mean, how many times can you eat at Wendy's before you get tired of it? And but, you know, we need to ask the Lord's help to say no to temptation when it arises. And it would be better for us to not provide for the flesh and to have to say no to temptation. And so prayer must be offered with the request for help in avoiding and abstaining from all appearance of evil. So lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And then letter G there, Matthew 6:13, for thine is the
power and the
glory forever. Amen. And so just as prayer should begin with praising God, so should it be ended with praising God. So we begin with praising God, we end with praising God. And so the model prayer gives three things to praise God for in closing. However, much more can be added in praising Him as we praise Him. So we see the pattern for prayer this morning. And you want to know how to pray? That's a good blueprint. That's a good way to start your prayers and how to pray. And so number four this morning, we now move on from the pattern of prayer to the prerequisites of prayer. And so we see there are certain things that are needed for us to receive answers to prayer. The relationship between the Christian and God the Father can be compared to that of kind of the earthly father and the earthly son. A man and his son are related by birth, but they enjoy fellowship by communication, by communicating with one another. And fellowship between the two can be hindered by circumstances, even though the family relationship cannot change. This is how we kind of help explain the security of salvation. Because once you're saved, you're saved. Once you're saved, your Heavenly Father is your Heavenly Father. That fellowship may be strained, that relationship may be strained, just like when you have, as a kid, you had your mom, your dad, whatever the case may be, and maybe you did some things that ticked your mom off, you did some things that ticked your dad off, and maybe there, you know, they had to correct you, they maybe had to spank you, they maybe had to, you know, put you in your place or whatever the case be, and you didn't care for that, you didn't like that. And so that strained that relationship, but that did not change the fact that they were still your mom, they were still your dad, and you were still their son, you were still their daughter. And so we see here that the son will always be a child of the Father. And in order for us to have good fellowship with the Heavenly Father, there are some things that will help bring answers to prayer. Number one, privacy. Number one, privacy. You're there in Matthew chapter 6. Who'd like to look there at verse number 6? Matthew chapter 6 and verse number 6. Miss Sandy? All right, so we see there, pray to the Father, which is in what?
Secret.
And so one of the keys to getting our prayers answered is to do it in privacy. The Lord does not want us to make a public spectacle of prayer. He does not want us to, as the Pharisees did, and he actually used that illustration. And so we need to pray to him in secret, and the Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. And so privacy is the first key. Number two, persistency. Persistency. Who'd like to look there? Luke chapter 18 and verse number 7. Luke chapter 18 and verse number 7. Brother Kenny?
And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them?
All right, and so we see there, and it says, and shall God, and shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry what? Day and night. And so one of the keys to prayer is persistency. In fact, there in the Bible, I think it's actually there in Luke, it talks about the friend who comes at midnight and knocks on the door and keeps knocking on the door until you finally answer and let him in and help him and give him what he's there knocking on the door for. And that's what the Lord compares prayer to, coming to the door, asking and seeking and knocking until the Lord answers that prayer. We need to be persistent in our prayer. Sometimes, you know, we're very lazy people sometimes. You know, we pray one time, we don't get an answer, and we stop praying. No, the Lord never promised he was going to answer on the first, you know, the first time we pray. Sometimes we have to pray and pray. I've known people, they prayed for something. They prayed for it for years before the Lord finally gave them a clear-cut answer, yes, no, or otherwise. So we need persistency. Maybe. Yeah. It could be, you know, a number of reasons why the Lord isn't answering right away. You know, one of his answers is wait. Ms. Rose? There you go. Absolutely. And so we just need to be persistent about it. The Lord knows what he's doing. And we need to just remember that. And then see there. So privacy, persistency, and then we need faith. We need faith when we're praying. Matthew 21. Who would like to look that up for us this morning? Matthew 21 and verse number 22. Joe, good.
in all things, whoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, he shall receive.
All right, and so we see there, whatsoever ye shall ask in what? Believing, ye shall receive. And so, you know, sometimes when we pray, I think sometimes we pray not really believing the Lord hears us, not really believing the Lord's going to answer us. But right here, we see one of the keys to prayer is faith. Kenny?
You could, like, I've heard people say, you know, they pray for $1 million or whatever, but you know you're not going to get it.
Yeah, right, right.
And then they're, you know, and you just know that that's not going to be something that he's going to get.
You know, I still have the dream that one morning I'm going to wake up, and there's going to be $1 billion in our bank account. What's that? That's right. That's right. And I know that's never going to happen. But I know that's never going to happen. But, you know, there's a difference between praying and dreaming, okay? You know, you can dream, but realize, okay, this isn't probably bound to happen. And but we see we need to have faith when we're praying. What's that?
We need an extra vehicle to light God on fire.
Yeah.
God gave us a Porsche. Kenny drove it. God gave it to us. I'm not kidding. He gave us a Porsche.
That's right. I remember that. Yeah. And you know, Lord meets our needs when we pray for it. And so we see we need privacy, persistency, faith. And then fourthly, we need purity. We need purity. Who'd like to look up there? Hebrews chapter 12 and verse number 14. Miss Sandy, go ahead. All right. And so we see there, which no man shall see what?
The Lord.
And so we need to make sure, again, and it goes back to this idea, how can we be right with a God we cannot see if we're not right with the people we can see? And so we need to have that peace with all men. We need to have that purity with each man. And we need to have purity. And James 5:16, the Bible says there, and that first word is confess. There on your fill in the blank, James 5:16, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that ye may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And so, you know, we all deal with faults. That verse does not say, confess your sins one to another. There's just one person we confess our sins to, and that's Lord Jesus Christ. But, you know, we all have faults. We all have failures. We all have things that we struggle with. And we need to confess those things to one another so we can pray for one another. You know, I can't effectively pray for somebody if I don't know what's going on in their life. You can't effectively pray for somebody if you don't know what's going on in their life. So we need to, and this is where trust is built up in the church, where, and that's why, you know, the prayer meeting and different things we have is so, and ought to be so sacred. What's said in prayer meeting ought to stay in the prayer meeting, ought to stay, you know, unless, and again, the prayer chain, you know, that sort of thing is different. But there should be able to be folks who can share things in the church that they know that it stays in the church when it comes to their prayer needs. And so confess your faults one to another. But the truth this morning is this, that some Christians look at prayer as kind of a spare tire. Now, spare tire is forgotten for months at a time until suddenly you have that flat on the road and then you want the spare tire to be in good condition, ready for use. You want to be able to go there in your car and pop it on. But just so, as Christians, many of us, we forget God during all the times when things go well. And then in an emergency, we want God to be on hand, immediately ready to hear and answer our cry of need. But we have to realize this morning, God is not a spare tire. God wants us to be in prayer in the good times and the bad times. I think it's Thessalonians chapter 5, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And so in everything, give thanks. Good times, bad times, and everything in between, give thanks to the Lord. and be in prayer in the good times and the bad times. And so we see the prerequisites of prayer, the pattern of prayer, then fifthly and finally this morning, we see the promise of prayer. We see the promise of prayer. You know, God has for us as Christians many exceeding great and precious promises. 2 Peter 1:4. Many of which are in conjunction with prayer. The word pray and forms of it, so prayer, praying, prayed, all of these forms of prayer, they are mentioned 547 times in the Word of God. The sun has stopped, wounds have been opened, fire has fallen, life has been prolonged, people have been healed, and a host of other miracles have taken place due to prayer. The person who claims the promises of prayer will see the hand of God move on his behalf. Who'd like to read there? Matthew chapter 7 and verse 7. Now, we alluded to this verse a little bit earlier, but who'd like to look there? Matthew chapter 7, verse 7. Katie, go ahead.
Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you.
All right, and so we see that first word is what?
Ask.
Ask and it shall be given you. And in Jeremiah 29, 12 through 13 there, then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto that unto you, and ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart. You know, sometimes we don't find the Lord because we don't search for him. And we have the promise of God right there in Jeremiah. If you'll seek him with your whole heart, you will find him. John chapter 16, verses 23 and 24. John chapter 16, verses 23 and 24. We'd like to read that there. Miss Andy, go ahead. So we see here, whether ye shall what?
Ask.
And then the second fill in the blank, asking ye shall
receive.
And so we see again, we have to ask, we have to seek, we have to knock. Jeremiah 33:3, call unto me, and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. And so we see there, the Lord wants us to call unto him. Psalm 91:15, he shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. Psalm 116, verses 1 and 2, I love the Lord because he hath heard my voice and my supplication, because he hath inclined his ear unto me. Therefore will I call upon him as long as I live. The Lord wants us to call upon him. The Lord wants us to be in prayer. The Lord wants us to be prayer warriors. You think this morning, what would people think of a man who had $1,000 in the bank and was in need, but he only took out one penny a day? I mean, you think of it. Maybe he had $500 in bills. He had $1,000 in the bank, and just every day he just went out and got out a penny. We think that was pretty foolish, wouldn't we? Miss Rose, go ahead.
Some people have done that. The country singer, Mr. Eaton, given his wife, thought they were poor, and maybe they ever died too. And when they died, they brought millions in the house.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
And but, you know, this is no different than the Christian who fails to draw on the resources of God. God has resources for you. God has resources for us. The throne of grace is established, and there the Christian can obtain all the grace he needs. The Lord has everything he needs for you. You have everything you need in the Lord. All you have to do is ask. You know, what's the old saying? You have not because you ask not. And that's the truth when it comes to God. God knows what we have need of before we ask. But He wants us to still ask Him and have that relationship and that communication with Him. And so that covers this morning the supplication of our walk with God and the importance of prayer in the life of the believer. Anybody have any questions on this or comments? Ms. Rose? That's right. Absolutely. And but thank the Lord for prayer that we can go to Him anytime we have a need. Let's pray, and we'll be dismissed this morning.